keynote-osio meidän World Usability Day -ohjelmasta. Tämä on kokonaisuudessa päivänä, Agora-päivänä saatu yhteisvoimin pystyy tämä tapahtuma Onesto ja Kvantelin kanssa pääpartnereina sekä sitten on myös esille ja tukenut tämä järjestely Samlink, SC5 Online, Jyväskylä Agile ja Humappi, josta Samlinkista ja Humappista kuulla myös keynote myöhemmin. SC5 on esillä täällä ulkona heidän Device Wallin kanssa ja Tero on sitten meidän paneelissa myöhemmin. I see that our first keynote speaker is running through the hall and is now just arriving. Welcome, Andre. You have been studying experience differentiation strategy in the software business. Actually, you just defended your thesis this year successfully, and one reason for this success was with Pasi Tyrväinen, who acted as opponent. And I think Pasi would be the best person to open up to us the significance of your work as a kind of a frame before you present. You're coming from directly now from Lapland, where at the moment you're an entrepreneur. You started your new business as with a coffee roastery, original Lapland roastery. I didn't know that. I would have thought you can dry freeze stuff in Lapland, but maybe you can roast stuff as well. So Pasi could probably use this and then hand over his mic to Andre. No, one word more. On the right side, you will see throughout the whole afternoon this message wall. Viestiseinä. You are requested to send at least one message to this wall. We will pick from this wall comments and questions that, if of course necessary, we can even interrupt in the middle of a speech, but otherwise we can ask the keynote speaker to reply to those. We can also save them later for the panel discussions. You can get to the device wall through the internet address, or send it directly through an SMS through the number 12154, and then start your message with AUD2, which is auditorium 2, this hall. If you send it to AUD1, it will end up maybe live in another room. So send it to this one. So please use that one for additional interaction. Pasi.
Thank you. So I was happy to receive a positive answer from Andre on my request to come here. So I was very pleased on seeing what Andre has been working on. So he has been working as a researcher at VTT Research Center for a few years, and working in the cloud software program, studying how the companies providing new services can build the success of the products, not only through usability, but through turning the things around, starting from the values of the user, thinking how a product or experience using a service can support the values of the person. So totally upside down compared to what usually is the approach. And I was very happy to see how the work was implemented in some of the Finnish data security company that has been struggling with how to segment the markets from their perspective, that is, how to find the different needs of different user groups. And starting from the values of the user groups is the sort of radically different approach, and we are very happy to have Andre here to describe that in more detail. So Andre,
thank you.
Please.
Thank you. This is working. All right, thank you very much. This is going to be in English. My Finnish is not good enough to address the audience like this, but thank you, Pasi, thank you, Sasha, for inviting me and giving me opportunity to present my work. And like it was already said, I have been in Finland for the last four and a half years, and most of that time I was working with software and researching the customer experience and how the strategy of business should change if we are talking about customer experience as a differentiation factor. So what does it actually mean to say that we are going to differentiate by providing user experience? Because if you think about it, it sounds like nonsense. And I'll tell you in a minute why. And my experience in software is about 11 years. Before that, I had a company, software company. We were implementing ERP systems and quite successfully. But then I moved to Finland. And the last about 5 months, I've started a company, this Lapland, or original Lapland Rose. This is where we're based now in Kemi. And so this is our new baby, and we're working with it. And so I am actually, this is, you can see how to build an experience differentiation strategy for software business. Was the context where I studied, but actually some of the things I'm going to end it with how I'm using that in the company right now. So now I'm an entrepreneur and doing coffee. Okay, let's move on. So I said that differentiating with experience sounds like nonsense for strategy, and the reason for that is that because you're trying to marry kind of two different, very different things. One, you have experience where it's totally subjective. I mean, it's your personal. It happens inside your mind. It's emergent. It continually evolves. And what you and your takeaway product is emotions, our emotions, your memories, your desires maybe to do in the future, absolutely cannot be controlled from outside by the company. But when you talk about strategy, that's absolutely different. You are deterministic. You're deciding what kind of experience your customers are going to have. Well, what they are going to have you cannot control, but you're thinking through experience, and you're trying to provide something that will be different from a company next to you. So this is a normative. You're trying to say what your customers ought to have as an experience, even if you're just designing software. And in designing software, you're creating a schemes, you're creating a processes that customers will follow. So that will sort of steer their experience. But is that differentiation by experience or not? So this is where my struggle was more or less in researching this. So how do you actually make it happen? So let's start with experience first. We'll move to the strategy, and then we'll talk what things are being, how things influencing us from the history, from the past of differentiation, and what we should do really if we are talking about experience differentiation. So for experience, you can kind of think about it. There are several areas that a person can have an experience with. So if you look at the horizontal line now, I can have a very passive experience like watching a TV, or I can have a very active experience like going rafting on a raft down the river, or going even to a game where I can cheer for my team. So I have a little more of participation. And then it can be problem solving where Like this study that was done for a security company here in Finland. It was done for several companies, but actually I'm using the case for in my research just with that company. They were problem solving. So, you know, I have a problem. I want to be secure when I search the internet. And it's a very, very subtle experience for me because I don't even know that I experienced that software until I have problem with my viruses. And so is that differentiation by experience or not? And then it can be an immersion. It can be somewhere where I am constantly aware of what's going on. And like if I'm, you know, at a movie theater, for example, I'm in it. So the company we were doing research with at VTT had this offering which was passive and problem solving, and the desire was to go everywhere else. So how do we do this? Now, when I talk about experience, I mean something that is holistic, something that is indivisible. You cannot dissect experience into really product and customer and then something else. You know, it's if we're talking about experience, then we're looking at it as a whole. So that's my definition of experience, and that's why it's a bit challenging to create that. When we go down to usability, it kind of makes more sense how you create specifications for what, you know, color it should be, what kind of feel it should have, and things like that. But when you talk about experience, how do you define that? And this is not conclusive, of course. So this is just to kind of provoke some thinking and address this challenging topic, and I don't think I provide the answers, but I think I outlined the way. So now, when we talk about the strategy, what do we mean about the strategy? What do we know, let's say, about strategy? The strategy so far has meant that you need to distinguish your service or your product in any way. It can be also distinguishing your company. It is providing something unique. And we understand if I provide a different product, that's differentiation by design. If I provide a different cost, then it's differentiation by cost. My products are more expensive or cheaper, and that way I can differentiate. I can sell perfume at a higher price and create it thinking that it's better perfume than a cheaper perfume. And then I can differentiate by marketing message or something like that. So, but when we talk about experience, we mean that every single experience in every single mind creates something different, but it actually is helping us to set aside our product from outside the competition. So so far, there have been a lot of thinking about what is differentiation. I'm not going to go in this just for the time's sake. And what are the key ideas of experience. And there are a lot of models about it. I'm going to summarize everything that I'm not going to talk about on this slide in the next slide. But the thing I want to point out here is that when we talk about differentiation and the products, we normally leave experience as something that happens after we designed everything. After we thought about the product idea, after we thought about how it looks, then experience comes, experience happens. And that's pretty much what the experience on the left-hand side models talk about. They assume that experience already happens. It doesn't talk about really strategy. How do you create the strategy for experience? And so this slide summarizes basically what I just said, is that traditionally the companies thought about differentiation as something that you focus on core needs. You find out what the person needs, and or you create that need if you want, and then from around that idea you design a product, design your hardware, your software, everything else, and then around that idea, this is This is the next stage that happened maybe in 1940s, 60s. A lot of discussion about that was in the literature about whether there is such a product, there is such a thing as a commodity product, meaning, you know, nothing differentiated at all. And the argument at that time was that there is no commodity product. Everything can be differentiated somehow. By services, by additional message, by designing, by redesigning, and things like that. So when that idea kind of settled in the mind of management, then they were like, hey, everybody's doing this now. So everybody's, you know, developing messages, and everybody's doing this and that, and you can find even teleoperators providing cinema tickets, and, you know, there are lots of stuff that's going on. But, and everything of that is experience. It's part of the experience. But the problem is that it's thought of at the end. And very often, that kind of experience is perceived as just doing more of the same stuff. The company goes in and it starts providing more of different kind of things that come together with the product, different kind of things that come together with the services, and they just create yet another service. And it's really is a question whether that differentiates the company in reality or not. So when we started thinking about this, we suggested, hey, if we are going to differentiate with experience, we gotta think about experience first. And then design the product and augment the product after that. So how do you do this? How do you come to the point where the company is designing experience first? And if we believe this, then it overthrows a lot of strategic thinking that has been done so far. Because strategic thinking has been done on this level. And now there's a lot of discussion saying that you know, if the product is subordinate to experience, then what does it mean to have a different kind of strategy? So we propose that you have to begin with the focus rather on customer values rather than on customer needs. And the difference between values is the following. So when I talk about them, what it helps us to do is to kind of resolve this problem of how you create a normative solution for something that is very, very subjective. So how you create a solution that says this is what we think the customer should have, as opposed to what the customer has very, very subjectively. And I'm not going to go into detail in the philosophical discussion of this, but and unless there a question arises, but values can be treated as subject as scientific arguments, really, meaning that the way people look at their values and the way they use their values in reality is to justify their experiences. And if I tell you something that, you know, this is just something I value, that actually removes a lot of arguments with me. If I say, you know, I think this is honest to do this, you'll just go, yeah, that's an argument. I mean, it's totally subjective. I haven't given you any idea why I am doing what I'm doing, but I just told you, you know, I believe it's just honest. Or I believe this is right. You know, or I believe this is bad. And that argument removes a lot of you know, things that can come up with needs. Because when you say, well, you know, I need this or that, there's always an argument. Well, why not that? You know, I'm telling you need this. You know, why not something else? So it's a little bit different perspective. And what's different about it is that values are always motivational. They always with me. My needs, I'm hungry, I can eat, and I'll be satisfied for the next 3-4 hours, and I don't know when I eat again. Of course, you can build the strategy on that as well, because I'll want to eat in 4 hours and things like that. But if I look at the values, they connect my strategy to experience. I look back at my experience, and I justify it with my values, not with my needs. I look forward to my experiences and I think, this is what I want to get out because this is what I value. And so the values kind of were a connecting idea. And when I talk about values, I mean very abstract things. I mean values for good and bad, for what is fair and unfair, what's legitimate and illegitimate, what's desirable and undesirable. We're talking about friendship, learning, experience, creativity, authority, security, environmental security, self-respect, something that, you know, I'm talking about these kind of values. And in fact, there were many, many studies done, and I listed them now as there are a bunch of them. But really, the research so far shows that we maybe have about 50 values. All of us. All around the world. Studies been done like in every single, not every single, but in many, many cultures. We're talking about not just countries, but people groups. Saying that you can boil down values to maybe a list of 50. And the basis for how we make decisions are pretty much the same. The priority of them can be different. You can prioritize your values differently than I do. You can prioritize something according to the context, according to the setup. You know, and those priorities will change all the time. In this auditorium, you walk out elsewhere, you encounter somebody, you talk to somebody, the priorities will adjust. But the list of those, the structure and the exchange, what value normally balances what which other value, you know. So what is competing in your values is also very, very similar. And that makes, Schwartz was one of those guys who actually studied this a lot extensively. And I'm not providing, maybe I have a link somewhere else, but for those of you who want to look it up, but you can just do human values and the research will bring up a lot. So this is what I just said, actually, is that these are principal beliefs, these are ideas of desirable states, and they combine, or this last point, I didn't stop on it, they combine rational and irrational, which is very, very important, because many times needs are based, 5 minutes, needs are based on the cost-benefit analysis. So it's how we arrive there, and values allow us to be rational. So with that in mind, this is the process that we kind of, and I in my work suggest, is that values need to be integrated in this understanding of how values work in experience. And this is kind of the way to think through experience if you use values. So you look at the values and then you look at what the customer's ability are. For example, you want to provide anything. You know, can they do it? Then an opportunity, would they be able to fulfill that? And no regrets, if you jump with a parachute, you want that parachute open. So, and the perspective you take on it with values is once you know the values, you can actually take the observer and actor perspective on it. Meaning that once you understand how the process works and what the values are, you can think about about the experience you provide as an observer just as much as an actor. Meaning you can put yourself in the situation and you can look from it from the behind and from the above. So really quick, this whole talk that I've done was implemented in this company. We worked with them through studying the values, then analyzing the patterns, doing all kinds of statistical algorithms, and then coming up with something that the people would be able to use. It wasn't a specification, of course. We couldn't, you know, say, okay, you create this color, this color. We didn't go that way. But I think we made enough progress for the company to benefit from it. And so the benefits of the company was a lot of connecting to how they think about the products, how the process is done within, the strategy process was done within the company, how they market the message, so how they understand the customer. But I just want to mention a little, one, this is last but one slide, what I learned from it. And I kind of mentioned it already, but and as I said, it works in software company because we worked with software company, but I'm not a software business at the core now, even though we are targeting web sales. But for me, this idea I think works because it's simple. It helps me think through things what my customers also want. After I study my customers and understand what their values are, because in coffee, especially in Lapland, I mean, and coming from a different country, I do need to understand how people think. But once I'm there, I can think through their experience for them, assuming that this is something they want. So I wrote a whole book on this. It's available online. It's available hard copy. So if you're interested, it's actually thought-provoking in a lot of things. And if you're looking at the ways of aligning your company or just even if you're aligning your company with the experience, and then if you are just if you're researching this topic and you just want to have more of kind of what do I do with this experience topic in business, then you can let me know. I can send you the book or you can go and pick it up online. So thank you very much for your attention. I'll take any questions now that...
Thank you.
I think it's very good.
Any quick question for Andre at this stage?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Well, what kind of experiences you have so far while putting up together your own business? How did it work out for you?
Myself or the people, you mean?
Yeah, your experience.
As an entrepreneur?
Yeah.
My experience, well, there are a lot of things. But thank you. This is actually a very, very nice question because it helps me. there are some experiences that are, I feel like I'm sometimes spinning wheels because I'm not very good in Finnish and I'm struggling to really get through to the customer. It's very difficult for me to hear you out, and Finnish people are very, very reserved, especially in Lapland, and they try to be accommodating, very kind of... making sure that you try what you believe is true. So I don't always get the feedback I want unless I directly ask, and that's a good thing about Finnish culture. You can ask directly and you'll get direct question, but you gotta do it. And so there with developing this coffee, we get very good feedback from people who drink and try and buy from us, and when they actually taste it and do it. And so that's pleasing, that's nice. It's just not developing as fast yet. There is always money issue, you know, where to get more money for this and that. But overall, we want to develop an original Lapland Rose brand and develop a Sami brand as well. So I think this is... something that we believe in and is something we're heading on. So, yeah. But does that answer your question?
Yeah. Maybe I have a chance one day to come and visit you.
Please do. We want to visit. I heard there is a roastery just next door here that opened recently. I want to visit the managers today or tomorrow and talk to them.
Yeah, and I can confirm, I mean, the values are really brought to the front on your website. It's it, you shine through, so you do what you preach.
Yeah.
So to synchronize your values with the customers. Now, I just need to read the book myself. Of course, what interests me is how you get from this conceptual stage towards a tool of how you can actually support design in the process of designing through coming through a value-based approach.
Can I just comment on this?
Yes.
I'll just comment on this. I showed it this tool very, very quickly. And of course, it's at the level which is more conceptual level. And the idea is, or was, to try it. And I know the company still works with the things that I've just presented it. So it didn't die. It didn't go away. And the idea was to think through the specification. So what it actually means for developer, how you bring it down there. But we didn't get there yet. So maybe it's another book.
It's a journey. We're still young. Okay, but thank you very much, Andre, still for being with us and sharing your ideas.
Thank you.